This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on India's response to terrorism. The participants are Prabhu Dayal, former ambassador, and Rahul Tripathi, journalist.
Welcome to the program Spotlight. Today we talk about the horrific terror incident in Pahalgam in Srinagar on Tuesday, in which 25 Indians and one Nepalese citizen were killed. We discuss with former ambassador Mr. Prabhu Dayal what has been India's response to this dastardly act. But let's first listen to what Prime Minister Modi said earlier in the day.
Friends, today from the soil of Bihar, I say to the whole world, India will identify, track and punish every terrorist and their backer. We will pursue them to the ends of the earth. India's spirit will never be broken by terrorism. Terrorism will not go unpunished. Every effort will be made to ensure that justice is done. The entire nation is firm in this resolve. Everyone who believes in humanity is with us. I thank the people of various countries and their leaders who have stood with us in this time.
Let's understand what Prime Minister, when he said that India will not let go unpunished this act. Welcome, Ambassador Dayal. My first question to you will be regarding what the Prime Minister said in Bihar. Can you please decipher this for our listeners?
Well, Prime Minister very categorically stated that India will be unrelenting in the pursuit of those who have committed acts of terror or conspired to make them possible. Now, Prime Minister had sent across a very clear message when he had cut short his visit to Saudi Arabia and had decided to return to India. And the message was that he was taking this terrorist attack, which was launched in Pahalgam, with the utmost seriousness. And therefore, it should not come as any surprise to anyone that the Prime Minister has led the action from the front, and the Cabinet Committee on Security, which functions under his stewardship, has taken some very, very important decisions which impact Pakistan, because there is no doubt in anybody's mind that these terrorists had a Pakistan connection. In fact, according to the media reports which I have seen, three have been identified, and out of these, two are certainly Pakistani nationals, and the third one seems to be someone who was trained by the Pakistani agencies. Now, let me tell you, I served in Pakistan in the early 80s, and I used to hear Pakistani leaders and also the army commanders say very often that Pakistan will bleed India by a thousand cuts. In fact, this was their avowed policy, and they have tried to do this by sponsoring terrorist acts against India. There have been umpteen terrorist acts which have been launched by the Pakistani ISI through terror outfits, and all these have been directed against India. Now, a very, very major attack was the Mumbai terror attack. And the mastermind of this was Tahawur Rana, who was recently extradited by the United States to India. And this showed how India is determined to pursue those who have committed acts of terror. And that is why Prime Minister's message is very clear. India will be unrelenting in the pursuit of those who have committed acts of terror.
The CCS decision which came out yesterday, the first was the Indus Water Treaty. What does this mean? Can you please decode it for our listeners? Let's listen to what Foreign Secretary Vikram Misri said on Wednesday.
Recognizing the seriousness of this terrorist attack, the CCS decided upon the following measures. The Indus Waters Treaty of 1960 will be held in abeyance with immediate effect until Pakistan credibly and irrevocably abjures its support for cross-border terrorism.
Well, the CCS decided that the Indus Waters Treaty will be held in abeyance. In other words, it is going to be suspended. Now, suspending the treaty implies that while it has not been terminated or revoked or totally cancelled, but it has been put on temporary hold. impose its obligations under the agreement without formally withdrawing from it. Now, this is a significant diplomatic maneuver given the legal structure of the treaty. Now, the suspension will have far-reaching consequences for Pakistan because it relies heavily on the Indus River system for agriculture, particularly in its Punjab province. Now, at present, India lacks the infrastructure to immediately stop or divert river flows for its own use. However, the suspension expands India's long-term maneuverability over the water resources of the Indus system. Now, in other words, with India no longer obligated to share flood data, the risk of unanticipated flooding also increases, especially during the monsoon season. So I think this is the first step towards what could be the abrogation of the treaty if the government so decides. Now, although there is no explicit provision in the treaty for its abrogation, Article 62 of the Vienna Convention on the Law of the Treaties provides sufficient room under which the treaty can be repudiated in view of the fundamental change of circumstances which may have occurred in regard to those existing at the time of the conclusion of the treaty. In other words, circumstances, if they change, then the treaty can be abrogated. Now, India has several strategic options, such as the halting of the sharing of the river flow data with Pakistan, proceeding with previously restricted reservoir flushing, and undertaking storage projects on the western rivers, and all these actions which were earlier constrained by treaty provisions. In addition, visits by Pakistani officials to Indian dam and project sites, which are a treaty requirement, could now be suspended, because if the treaty itself is suspended, then such visits will also be suspended. So additionally, you know, operational protocols such as restrictions on the timing of the reservoir filling are no longer enforceable. So let me also mention that India has been concerned about this treaty since a long time. And in January 2023, it issued a notice to Pakistan seeking modifications, and India cited fundamental and unforeseen changes in circumstances.
Mr. Dayal, there has been this thing about the SAARC visa exemption scheme. Can you please explain to our listeners what does this mean and how much time do they have to leave the country, leave India, which means, and the vice versa?
People who are from Pakistan and currently under the SAARC visa exemption scheme have to leave within 48 hours. Now, a lot of students have been allowed to come in, I understand, under this visa exemption scheme. Now, the fact is that when Pakistanis come here, they may come for one purpose, but the danger is that they are taking part in anti-India activities. I'm afraid that there are some sleeper cells which the ISI operate within India. And people from Pakistan who come here either to meet their relatives or students or for some other purpose indulge in activities which are against the security interests of India. Therefore, I think it's a very good decision and a very necessary one to ask the Pakistani nationals who are here in India.
What happens to this High Commission where the number has been brought down from 55 to 30 and they have been declared person non grata? What does this mean? Can you please explain to our listeners?
There are two important decisions which have been taken in regard to the Pakistan High Commission. Firstly, the defense naval air advisors, who are the air attaches, they have been declared persona non grata. Now, all these military personnel who are there in the Pakistan High Commission somehow develop covert links with people who are working in the Indian defense setup. And that is very dangerous because they try to extract some secret and they try and get some sort of information which is surreptitious in nature. This is not good for our security interests. And therefore, we have declared the military, naval and air attaches in the Pakistan High Commission.
How much time do they have to leave the country?
They are expected to leave very, very soon. I have read in the media that the decisions will have to be implemented by 1st of May 2025, which means
within a week.
They have very little time.
Right.
Now, similarly, there has been a decision to bring down the overall strength of Pakistan its High Commission here from 55 to 38. Similarly, we have undertaken to downsize our mission. Now, why is this? The Pakistan High Commission is a den of spies, and it uses its diplomatic cover to carry out anti-India activities.
There has been a decision about the Attari integrated checkpost. What is the significance of this? Because it is being shut with immediate effect.
We don't want Pakistanis to be coming into India. As simple as that. The closure of the Attari checkpost means that Pakistanis will not be able to cross over into India by the land route. So this is a very, very strategic and important decision in terms of our security needs.
How do you see the international support that India has got, which Prime Minister also mentioned during the day? And yesterday, the Foreign Secretary also mentioned about it during his press conference.
Several countries have condemned the terror attack which took place in Pahalgam. And this condemnation is the starting point for us in terms of highlighting Pakistan's role in sponsoring terrorism. Now, Pakistan has been engaged in state-sponsored terrorism against India. But additionally, now the ramifications of Pakistan's terrorist activities are being felt by other countries also. And that is why we had been able to convince the members of the Financial Action Task Force to put Pakistan on the grey list, which meant that Pakistan had to comply by a number of requirements which were put in place by the Financial Action Task Force. Now, Pakistan was able to come out of the grey list, but after a major attack such as the Pahalgam terror attack, I think we will have to take up with other countries the urgent requirement to once again monitor what is happening in Pakistan and to put restrictions on certain activities of Pakistan which are effectively sponsoring terrorism.
Over the past 10 years, there has been a significant reduction in number of terrorist incidents, barring few like Pulwama in 2019 or 2016 Pathankot attack. So can you please explain what has happened over the past 10 years because of which the number of such incidents have reduced significantly?
For one thing, after the Pulwama terror attack, India had carried out surgical strike against Pakistan. And that sent across a message that we will not tolerate such activities. And that surgical strike was very effective. And that is why there has been this long pause in serious terrorist activities. Of course, I would not say that Pakistani-sponsored terrorist activities have totally stopped. There are still some which come to the notice of our agencies. But nothing of the scale of the Pulwama attack or the earlier attacks on, for instance, Uri, or, of course, the Mumbai terror attack. Nothing of that scale. So, let me state categorically that some developments have taken place recently which may have prompted Pakistanis to resort to this sort of terrorist attack. One was the extradition of Tahawur Rana by United States to India. Now, when Rana is put up at trial, he will spill the beans on how the Pakistani ISI has been sponsoring terrorism against India. So what the ISI tried to do was to resort to an act of terror to sort of scare India and to prevent any action being taken against Tahawur Rana. In other words, you know, the extradition itself could have had some connection with the Pahalgam terror attack.
Thank you, Ambassador. It was wonderful having you. Look forward to another discussion with you soon.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on India's response to terrorism. The participants were Prabhu Dayal, former ambassador, and Rahul Tripathi, journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.